Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters, the show in which I discuss all matters of the mind and in which I show how much mind matters. Welcome to the sixth part of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler and I am live on air. And surprise, surprise, we have no gremlins in the system. And therefore, I can welcome your calls with questions and comments as long as they relate to the theme I'm talking about. All other questions and comments and suggestions I will answer by email. Just go to http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you will find my email address. Write to me. And I will reply, as usual, within 48 hours. On page 4 of my website, you will find recordings of all my radio programs for you to listen at your leisure. Last week, I spoke about the language of persuasion. And I will continue with the same theme, persuasive words and persuasive language. First, let us talk about hidden commands, which means burying commands in sentences. You can still issue commands, but the trick is to hide them within the words of a longer sentence. The idea behind is that when people are given a command, they may well react against it, particularly if they see you have no formal authority over them. I show you just a few ways how you can hide commands in other words. Note that the words of the command still exist. They are just softened by other words which distract the other person away from any resistance and oblige them to comply. A trick within this is to emphasize the command, in particular the verb. Be subtle with this. If they realize what you are doing, they will be likely to resist. Most people know about hidden commands, and most of you will have used them, if not consciously, then unconsciously. So let me begin with the most common hidden command. It is the simple word, please. And yes, it is indeed a hidden command, because in our polite society, when the other person says please, you're pretty much obliged to do what they want unless you have a very good reason not to do so. And it could go like this. Please, could you help me fold this sheet? Could you help me, please, to fold this sheet? If you could help me fold this sheet, please. Or you could talk almost to yourself or very conversationally, musing as the possibility of the person doing something for you. Show your uncertainty as to whether the other person is willing or able to do the job, like this. I wonder if you could help me fold this sheet. I don't know whether you've folded sheets before. Could you help me fold this sheet now? Can you fold sheets? Great. Can you help me with these? You can also assume that they will obey the command and they may well comply. Assumption forces the other person to either agree now or think more. If they are hurried, then they are more likely to agree or not even notice. Note here that the command is not so much spoken as implied. After we have folded the sheet, do you want a cup of coffee? Which end of the sheet do you want to hold? Here, can you hold this? Thanks. Where shall we go for dinner tonight? This now leads me to possibility language, talking about what could be. This means to talk about possibilities rather than absolutes, muse about the future, challenge their assumptions or otherwise get them out of their limited thinking and into considering what could be rather than what cannot be. All you need to do is show that one thing is true to imply that many others could also be true. To use the language of possibility, move away from the language of certainty. Therefore, do not say will or must or cannot and so on. Use rather possibility words such as could, may, maybe, might, perhaps, possible. Ask questions that suggest possibility, such as what if, how could, how about, wouldn't it be nice if, who else? There are many other verbs, of course, that imply possibility through imagination and exploration, and which may be woven into what is being said, such as believe, consider, challenge, discover, examine, experiment, explore, find, imagine, hypothesize, investigate, look, muse, ponder, potential, reckon, research, speculate, suppose, think, uncertain, unsure, wonder. If they deny possibilities, ask them, what makes you think that it cannot be done? And then handle their objections. For example, by asking them to name when something they deny has actually happened. It can be helpful to use creative tools such as brainstorming to generate possibilities. This may be done individually or jointly. Listen to that. You said, you can't do it. Have you tried? Many others can do it. Perhaps you can too. They said, it can't be done. You know, I think it may be possible. People often make judgments and decisions in which they conclude that things are not possible, acceptable, or reasonable. As a result, they stop thinking about these things and never really consider the many possible ways that could achieve their goals by other means. By bringing up possibility, you are asking them to think about things that they either have quickly dismissed or perhaps have never even thought about. This can result in initial resistance, but if you persist, can lead to the aha of enlightenment. Possibility language reverses the assumption that others hold, creating a new assumption that something is possible rather than impossible. If you look at the whole spectrum of possibility, impossible exists only at the very end. The rest of the spectrum is various possibilities. Possibility can also be created by rethinking goals. For example, if you reframe a goal of getting to work on time as getting work done on time, then you may find new ways of avoiding the morning rush, for example. When working with other people, discovering their goals is always a very good first step in any case. This may be explored for possibility focus before moving to possibilities in deeper issues. The opposite of possibility language is certainty language, which implies that everything is known, and there is no uncertainty. Talk is in absolutes. Things are good or bad, right or wrong, with nothing in between. After you have created a view of possibility, the next step may be going from unlikely to likely and showing how this itself is quite feasible. This may use words that show greater than average chance of success, such as quite certain, a good chance, it's likely, it's probable. Beyond this, you can nudge action by suggesting that people have go to find out if it works in practice. There are words that are hardly noticed. There are words that stand out. And there are words which stand out so much they almost seem to have some kind of special power. That's why we call these words God words. Sometimes words arise in a society, or even across societies, which, like a god, demand absolute obedience. When they are invoked, you rebuke them at your peril. If I say racial equality is important, then you will be taking your life in your hands to say, no, racial equality is not important. God words often indicate beliefs, attitudes, and values which can be utilized by the attentive persuader. For example, if I hear you talking about people being hurt, I might deduce that you have a strong value about safety and hence sell your car based on its airbags, bags, and crumple zones. There's even a word for it. When words become canonized, they become unchallengeable, in a similar way that a particularly good person is canonized into sainthood. If there are God words, there must be also devil words. Just as God terms give you power, there are also words which will sap your power. Using these in a positive sense is taking your life in your hands. Saying sexual harassment is not all that important will make you a subject of attack, and even people who agree with you will quietly distance themselves from you. Between God and devil words are words that invoke particular effects on other people and can make you appear to have a mystical, persuasive charisma. That's why we call them charisma words. Sales books are full of these words, and each list is different. They are sold as magical sales secrets based on years of research, but you can easily invent your own. All you do is take a basic need and find words which trigger the need, the stronger the better, in the person to whom you're talking. Therefore, for example, you can use safety-oriented words such as guaranteed, safe, secure, sound, healthy, strong, or greed-oriented words like cash, deserve, money, more, free, or control-oriented words like easy, quick, discover, proven, best, grab, or belonging or identity-oriented words, you, love, good, approved, favorite, new, or trust-oriented words, certain, good, proven, real, right, scientific, sure, truth. Notice how these are all positive words as they aim to invoke good feelings. They are, as such, God charisma words. Words also can address more than one need, and most do. For example, easy also triggers greed and safety needs. You can also leverage negative emotions to scare people into action with devil charisma words such as only, as in only 2 days left, risky, or dark. The power effect of the words you use depend on the context within which you use them. Profit is very likely to be a God word in most businesses. Yet, in public services, it may well be a devil word, being taken as an indication of all that's bad about our selfish society. Words also sit within the context of other words within the sentence. Therefore, this is profitable is nowhere near as powerful as how much more profit will this make? Craft your speech with care and place your power words with even more care, and you will become more and more persuasive. If you're going to use power words effectively, then they should have a subtle effect. Listen to the following sentence. Our new and exclusive products give instant proven results and come with a free money-back guarantee strongly recommended by all consumer groups. Apply now for this limited offer to discover these amazing benefits. Overloading sentences like these two with power words is like a teenage boy spraying on large amounts of scent in the hope of attracting more girls. The main effect on most people is that it is so obvious that it triggers either scorn or anger or even worse, ridicule. In practice, of course, there is no real magic. The words may well influence others, but just by uttering or writing them, you are not guaranteed that they will make any difference. As you who have followed my talks already know, there's much more to persuasion than words. Words are only part of a whole package. For listeners who have tuned in late, I am live on air and welcome your calls as long as they relate to the subject matter. All other questions or comments I will answer by email. Just go to my website mindmattersonline.info and find my email address. MindMattersOnline is one word. Write to me and reply as usual within 48 hours. On page 4, you will find recordings of all my previous radio programs for you to listen to at your leisure. Let's continue. Pronouns are immensely powerful little words that can add significant power to persuasive language. This power means that it is easy to underdo or overdo the usage. Too few and you will seem distant. Too many and you may seem aggressive or manipulative. For example, I is a small word, but it is written as a capital letter, perhaps to indicate its power and significance. When you use it in persuasive language, you are placing all that you are into the fray, showing your commitment and purpose. Listen to this. That is good. This is a personless judgment. I think that this is good means committing your view. Think about it. When you were half listening to someone talking and they said you, the chances are this startled you in some way, jolting you back to full listening mode. When you say you, then you are firing an arrow directly at the other person and your words will be noticed and processed more consciously. Talking in the second person shows that you are recognizing others as separate individuals, therefore stroking their sense of identity and locating them in your sphere. On the other hand, you can also create a separation between yourself and the other person, which means that sometimes we is better. Talking in the third person, he, she, references another person outside of the you-me conversation. This has the effect of creating an out-group, separate from us. By implication, it also bonds you and me as an in-group, thus drawing us together and making you more likely to agree with me. Listen to it. He doesn't make sense to me. She is not like you. The neutral third person, it, is very useful for objectification, where we create things that are non-human and hence can be treated more objectively and with much less care. Talking in the plural is inclusive and hence pulls whole groups of people in. This also can be a hazard, as groups can also take against you. We brings you and me together, bonding as a single unit and thus connecting our thoughts and feelings. If I think something to be true, then you have an obligation to consider it true also. We also creates a group, making boundaries within which a cohesive in-group exists, within which each person must comply with our group values and rules. The plural you refers to a group of other people. Talking to groups can be very effective as you change many minds at once. If, however, they do not like you or agree with you, they can be a difficult force to overcome. It therefore pays to take care when using you with groups. Remember that you separate yourself from others and that we can act to unite. Beware, though, of inviting yourself to be a member of their group when they may not want you to join yet. The fact that you is the same word in the singular and the plural makes for the clever effect that addressing a group as you can also add the powerful effect of seeming as if you are talking with each person individually. The plural third party, they, shows a group of others to be separate from us, emphasizing our similarity through implication of out-group uniformity. This allows you to push away others who do not conform as you build a more cohesive in-group. They are all like that. What did they say? Let's talk about punch words. Use words that have impact, shocking the person into a state where they are ready to listen to persuasive messages. Impact words may be made impactful by adding extra emphasis, such as making them louder or stressing them, enunciating them carefully and speaking more slowly. Listen to this. What would happen if your partner died? Would you be able to survive alone? I have $1 million in this case. Hands up those who want it now. Think of the sexiest woman you have ever seen. Do you want to be irresistibly attractive? Punch words have an emotional impact that deliver a blow to the listener that effectively feels like a punch. Punch words work because they address deep needs, often threatening them in a way that stimulates strong emotion and makes the person sit up and take notice. Punch words also work when appealing to our base nature and are often used in certain advertising in this way. There are also some words such as now that grab people. Now works as it drags them into the present moment from whatever reverie they were in. Let us talk about temporal language. When you use time in a statement, it forces the listener to cognitively move to the time indicated. All three time zones are widely used in persuasive conversation. Talking about the future gets people to think of possibilities. This can distract them away from current problems that are keeping them in the here and now. Possibilities can be positive, which will keep them thinking about the future. They can also be negative, which may scare them into action. Using words like now and today gives immediacy and urgency, making the present more important. This can be used to encourage decision-making without further thinking. Talking of the past gets people to relive past experiences. It also causes them to re-experience the emotions associated with the past memories. This can be both pleasant nostalgia, if you want them to feel good, or less comfortable thoughts, if you want them to stop doing something. Switching back and forth between time zones can have multiple effects. First, it causes confusion, which can lead to openness to persuasion. It also merges together past, present, and future, giving a sense of continuity and timelessness. You can also play with many different tenses, such as perfect, future perfect, blue perfect, and so on. Tenses have subtle effects, typically adding completion or continuity to time effects. The perfect tense, I ran, says an action was completed, whilst the imperfect, I was running, gives a sense of continuing action. Listen to that. What will happen if you keep on smoking? What can I do for you today? Remember when you were young and carefree? And now a very good one. Now, then, remember how you will have worked hard tomorrow evening. I like that. When you talk about something, in order to understand that thing, the other person has to think about it. Therefore, when talking in varying tenses, the other person will seek to follow along. If you put time into your language, they will, in thinking about it, will move themselves in time. Time is an internal construct, making it a high experience. Use short sentences to create punch and make a point. Use phrases and even single words as sentences. Really. Use a short sentence as a summary after a long description. Generally speaking, a short sentence works well at the start of a paragraph or speech item to grab attention, and at the end, to summarize and signal completion. Listen to this. I want this, not that, right now. When I think about what you are doing, what effect you are having on me. Now follow. So, it requires an initial completion of form. DC. Affirmative response. D. The listener may have forgotten the end by the time the speaker has reached the time. There's a natural pause. This is the person basically said, or thoughtfulness to what is being said. Too many short sentences and their sentences get lost. This is repeated. Okay, that's it. No more. I'm done. So, of course, and remember, too many is too many. To social language. Talk about what you perceive, what is. Use words to indicate how you see, scanning visual words, appears, looks like. Or audio, sounds, I hear, and thinking words, seems, and feeling words, it feels like, and enjoy words. It seems like I'm being excluded for the conversation, sounds much better than excluded from the conversation. It sounds like you are not very happy, then you are unhappy. That looks difficult. Is better than that is difficult for you. In the sense of the world, we interpret this experience with our inner view of the world. Yet, these views are not perfect. They are simply the best understanding we have so far. Most conversations are deceptive to describe actions to speak real. Hence, I say the ball is back rather than the ball looks like it is back. I will not be charged. But there are many reasons how our interpreted perception can cause problems. Many understandings we are personally interpreted what you say to guess and thinking. This way, a simple comment can turn into conflict. For example, if I say, why are you unhappy? And you may reply that it was just, I'm okay, what's up? Is it more difficult to tell me if I say, you look unhappy? Describing some person talks about our experiences and impressions of certain accounts. This very difficult to challenge. Only we as individual know what we are seeing. Let's have a look at trivializing words. Some words have an effect of trivializing, of making something smaller and less important than it is. Such words can be used both to defend and attack. Trivialization is often used in situations to make what you want smaller. You can trivialize anything, including time. And it won't take you very long. Or people, as in you're not that clever. Or ideas, as in a better way of doing things. Or money, it's too expensive for what you're getting. If a word might appear worth things, this may be discounted or reduced. If you do the status of the person, then anything they say or will or do will be reduced to listen to that. That's just a simple one. It's something difficult. This is charm. Is this all you have? Trivialization can also be applied to yourself or something that you want to make it seem unimportant, that the other person object to it. For example, it will be a small matter, it won't be long, or I won't be long, an extra seat won't cost much. Realization can be done with complete sentences and phrases. Keywords can be used to include just, as in just, or only two of us, or simply. It is simply a thing to do, or hardly things important, or quite interesting. Normal speed takes around 4 or 5 power minutes. You do not, you may sound manipulative. Post can add the manipulative to add impact to your communication. Has before you speak, post for a punchline or particularly important to increase tension and add emphasis. Posing regular can also increase tension. Put up punchline or important points in order to let it in. Pause between a request phrase and a command phrase in the same sentence. Use body language signals to emphasize the pause. A simple way of doing it is to freeze the speech, perhaps with an expectant expression on your face, doing smiles and looking around while making eye contact is also very effective. Matching body language with pause creates alignment and hence increases trust. Meaning body language and speech create messages and purpose. If you communicate well, then it makes sense to understand you can and not use it to say what you mean. Although it is intimate, it is how you feel and how you see yourself. Bear in mind that body language comes in clusters of signals and postures, depending on internal emotions and mental state. Recognizing a cluster is therefore far more reliable than trying to interpret individual elements and getting them wrong in the process. Look at the body view. Conditioning is a basic process whereby automatic feelings and actions are triggered by the presence of particular cues. We become conditioned as the sensory stimulus repeatedly paired with a feeling. Sorry. Just a slap leading to anger, evoking the emotional fear and hurt. As we grow used to being with other people, we subconsciously learn to read body language, particularly as it triggers emotion memories that let us predict what next. And then automatically react before the event occurs. For example, flinching at an angry voice. Positive cues happen too, such as when you feel the other smile. In this cues of a person, tend to decide. People not only look at where they want to be, they point parts of the body that way. For example, when they want to leave a conversation, they start to turn away or look at their watch. Rising anger can be spotted with, for example, reddening face, lowering eyebrows, tensing muscles, and more. How can we use it? Watch for correlation between a person's body position, movement, and attitude. When they have a negative attitude, get them to change position. For example, get to sit if they are standing. When you are aroused, look for a violent explanation. If you are held as an attractive other person, you may conclude you are an attracted person rather than being frightened in the situation. You also can check out for yourself. Important messages or documents like bank statements, solicitors, letters, which are entered and checked up, and then read them slouched forward with back curved in that posture. Observe how you feel both instances. I certainly felt more confident and assertive when you read those documents in confident posture. If you want to persuade someone or change their mind, you can do this by arousing the others. For example, talk about something that they can be, then send a cue, such as you told your idea. You could also anchor the seed has used for as a position tool. In change, the first process to make a person more confident. This is one of the very first person they boost their confidence. Research has shown that body language easily acts to others, such where an increased preference for what you are saying, a swing your hand, and of signal. For perception, the implication of this is that it can get a person to change their body, also change some. Typically, it's a person who's playing closed body language to hold, get to walk, thereby forcing over their stance. Before I go into more details of body language, you need to remind you of one important habit. Body language varies greatly with people, and especially with others. So be very careful when applying Western understanding to Eastern non-verbal language. Now let us look at body language in detail. Let's start with aggressive body language. Significant cluster of moves is used to signal aggression. It's actually quite useful, as it is seldom a good idea to get into a fight, even for powerful people. can hurt you, even though you are predestined, you will win. In addition to that, fighting is often socially unacceptable. Racism is all that may ever happen. Perception can be shown in the face. Disapproving frowns and pursed lips to sneers, full snarls. The eyes can be used to stare and hold the gaze for a long period. They may also squint, preventing the person to see where you're looking. When somebody is about to attack, they give visual signals such as clenching fists ready to strike and lowering the brain of the ability. They also like the anger and such redness of the face. Indeed, the space of the person in some ways and count invading another. It is often under the community where you add if you're being move into a space but without being invited. This gives the other person a dilemma of whether to repel a friend advance or accept dominance of the other. When you get inside so forth without the you are effectively invading their territory. Closing it, the greater ability will have first sight from an opponent might have a big part. Touching the person is another form of faith. And touching zones such as arm and back and chest. Also many gestures that primarily end in the other person, hence inciting anger ahead. On this battle, the single and double and the arm thrust, and so on, are used, though many of these two were waving fingers, swinging fists, thrusting forward, legs, swing, and so on. And because of this life, in short, please to my website, the slide.info, find my email address and tell me what you think about it. If you follow today, Mark Tullius Cicero, the once said, so unbelievable that oratory is acceptable. Tune in again, be game day, stay tuned.